Hello and welcome to season 3, episode 11 of the D Hoop University podcast. This is your boy Daryl Harris, also known as D Hoopster. And this is the second live stream of the week. We might really be cooking with gas now. I wanted to do this for a minute. The capabilities are in place. The seam is there. The play is set. The defense looking like they about to get sliced up. And I'm here with my boy CeeLo, man. We coast to coast with it right now, bro. CeeLo, talk to him, bro. You already have been, but
man, it's the late night over here, man. We in Philly. We got some talking to do. I'm ready to cook it up, man.
First time on the pod.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's the bio of this pod. It's essentially it's covering conversations that, you know, revolve around sports and sort of with the collegiate nostalgia of it, just kicking it with homies. And CeeLo's prime example, man. We connected at UNLV kind of off the, not initially, but like I remember seeing you one of my first couple of days there, and we like both remember that story. And then like we didn't really start becoming homies for like a while after that. And then after we did, we were definitely locked in. So from UNLV to wherever we go from here, man, definitely one of the bros. And you wanted to talk about this NCAA tournament, man. Final Four is on Sunday, I believe. No, is the first games? First game's tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the games start tomorrow. I think we got Auburn and Florida first at 6,
let me get
6
that
o'clock
right.
Eastern time. Yeah, we got Auburn and Florida, 6 o'clock Eastern time tomorrow. We got Houston and Duke. I think it's what? The 9 o'clock games? Eastern time?
Basically. Yeah. Side note. Which time zone you prefer from a sports viewer perspective?
I'll be honest, bro. I like the West Coast, bro. I like the West Coast because it's like
right.
you get the games early, and then you can go out after the games go off. You get
what
I'm saying?
The night's not over.
If you on the East Coast, the West Coast primetime games is coming on at like 10, 11 o'clock. Like, if you really want to watch that game, you kind of got to plan your whole night around it, which on a Friday night or Saturday night could kind of mess up plans. So I kind of like being on the West Coast, being able to get the games early. That primetime West Coast game is coming on at 7 or 8 o'clock. It's going off at 10 o'clock, and you got the rest of the night ahead of you. So I definitely kind of like that.
That's all I knew, man, until I went to Baylor and I was on Central Time. And I was like, this ain't bad, but the Lakers come on at 9, 10 o'clock. Like,
yeah.
It's not going off until midnight. And it's funny, now I'm working with a bunch of folks who are on East Coast time, and I get it mixed up all the time. I'm like, man, y'all think I'm slow dragging because it's almost 11 o'clock. I'm just responding to the email. I'm like, bro, I'm up and at them too, though.
I feel it. It's definitely been a transition for me because it's like I grew up East, spent what, 6 years on the West Coast. Now I'm back East. It's definitely a transition, especially when I prefer that time of day a little bit more than I prefer this time. So definitely a transition.
I wish there was a bit more regional representation in the Final Four, but we got Duke, Auburn, Florida, and Houston, who are all sort of southeastern programs. The players are from all over, so that's not per se the case, but I do think the styles translate. It's funny, man. That's the big story to me. And then I want to hear whatever your takeaways mainly were from the tournament too, but this was the first season without the Pac-12. This was the first season where this season felt really different. You know, NIL has been a thing for a couple seasons now where players don't have to sit out for these transfer years. And on the previous episode with JB the Ticket, We were talking about how each team kind of is a snapshot of a different method that can succeed, but they are using it to succeed. For example, like Duke, they have all the freshmen. They got elite recruits, possibly some one and dones, kind of following the Calipari model. And Duke, you know, that they've been doing that for a good 10 years now too, you know, since Tatum and even Kyrie and a bunch of these, you know, dudes been in there for a season and coming out. Cooper Flag, almost a lock to come out next year, but Florida's a team with, it's an actual team. You know, they got the right coach, they got the right point guard, they got the right big men, you know, people came around. I forgot where Clayton was from. Clayton was at a kind of mid-major school before he ended up at Florida. It's, you know, they got their own story. Houston is just the athletes. We got those dogs. Like, we sort of Smash Mouth style.
Man, Houston play a lot of defense, bro. Like, that's one thing that I love about Houston. Like, when I watch teams like Houston, even if you remember UVA back when they were good a couple years ago, teams like North Texas, Drexel, that like San good Diego defensive State. Teams. That San Diego State, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like, they got to the championship playing ugly ball.
Yeah. That was when they had Lamont Butler. They had, what's the dude named? Jadon Ladie. Them boys,
who was yoked up.
Boys was playing strapped down deep. Yeah, he was a husky dude.
Yeah, like, nah, man, bro, looked like he was about 26, 27.
I like that kind of smash mouth defensive ball. It remind me of them Grizzlies when they had Zach Randolph and Tony Allen and the boys. Like, that's the kind of gameplay I like.
You know, so I kind of want to get into that game a little bit more. The last team though to mention was Auburn. And they have one of the oldest starting lineups that we've seen, you know, to be this successful in a long time. And that's another reflection of what's different right now with the college game is that players are staying more. They are saying, like, you know what, if I can get a little something, I might as well either maximize this run that I have and do what I can, get my degree, get, you know, set up for after college, all of that, or I need to just find the right situation for one season. Like, shout out to that boy, John L. Davis. He was at Florida Atlantic last year, and he was on Arkansas this year. Calipari, I thought they were kind of going to go a little deeper. They didn't. But he's kind of just like, man, oh, man, I got to find one spot, one program to get that season that's going to get me in the draft.
I'm glad you brought up Florida Atlantic, because guess what? When you talk about Auburn, guess who Auburn just beat? They beat Michigan, and guess who also came from Florida Atlantic? Golden Vladislav. He was the big man for Michigan.
Wow, that's true.
And when you bring up Florida, you talk about Will Clayton. Guess who's beside him? It's the guy, Elijah Martin. And guess where he came from?
Oh, Florida, man. Atlantic. All the boys. So look, bro, it's almost.
That's the trio. Right here. That's the trio. Them guys left. The mid-conference, they left. Yeah. What conference is that? Is that the AAC? American Athletic Conference?
Yeah, I believe so.
They left and they all parted ways, and all of their teams had pretty much more than successful runs. Like, you got Michigan, who just fired their coach last year, get a first-year coach, and guess where they at? They pretty much Dusty.
They were in the conversation. They were close. Yeah, they were close.
You got Arkansas, who overachieved Calipari's first year in Arkansas. They overachieved, go deep. They was a bottom feeder in the SEC, made a deep run, and then you got Elijah Martin on Florida doing his thing with William Clayton. Like,
it's a double-edged sword, though. So that, I think that the consensus is that, like, you know, we want to see good games. We want to see at the end of the day, and it's always cool when a Cinderella team makes the run, but the Cinderella team, it doesn't have a happy ending most of the time when it's a Cinderella team. So it's kind of like you get to the end and it's like, oh, of course Duke beat them by 33. Like, it sucks because with the transfer holdout year no longer being a thing, players are like, yo, I'm out of here after one season. Like, I believe it was, if not UCI, who was the, what was the program with the manager?
The manager?
Was that yeah, this season that was making that got everybody's attention. Was it Drake? Not Drake. It wasn't Drake. It was you know what I'm talking about? The dude, everybody was calling him Big Aura and all of this and that.
Oh, you were talking about the guy from McNeese.
McNeese State. Bro, the McNeese State coach and the manager fool.
Went to North Carolina State.
Gone already. Good for them. I'm just, it's just kind of weird. Like, everybody's just packing up shop.
Bro, I got a bigger story for you. Robert Morris, a tournament team, small conference, whole starting five put their name in a transfer portal. I got another story for you. What's Scottie Pippen's son name? He played for Michigan, put his name in the transfer portal while Michigan was still winning in the tournament. It's like, bro, what's going on? The transfer portal? The transfer portal is kind of creating a mess. Like, is it a good mess? Maybe. We still early in the stage of like transfer portal NIL, so we kind of got to see. But it's like, if you're asking me, in a way, I feel like all of this is kind of messing up the tourney, because we had 14 teams from the SEC go to the tournament, which is the most that one conference has had that many teams go to the tourney. And when you look at it, it's like, I feel like a team like Boise State that was really good in the Mountain West, which is like a mid-level conference. You got a team like North Texas that had really good seasons that I kind of feel like I snubbed in favor of bottom feeder SEC teams. Like, looking at the tourney, you had seven teams from the SEC go out in the first round. And the majority of those seven teams that was a first-round exit just so happened to be in the bottom of the SEC. So it's like, did the committee kind of get it right when they made this tournament? And I will say, you have to give them some credit, because they did get it right in some aspects, because they got four number one seeds in the final four. So that means they at least got it right at the top. But at the bottom, we kind of got an argument.
I think a quick fix, if I'm just spitballing, and of course they got to go have, you know, legislation and they got to vote on it and whatever the process is. But I think a quick fix is like, all right, look, bro, never again. Seven team maximum from one conference. You know, that just came to me as you were saying that. Whatever the number kind of might be, but like, we got to put a cap to where I don't want to hear the argument of, oh, but maybe you already know the deal. Eight at most is coming out of this conference. So the whole conference can be undefeated, which is impossible, but that could be prevented possibly by an idea like that.
I do like the idea of putting a cap on how many teams can make it from a conference. But with these power conferences expanding the way that they've been expanding, particularly like the last year, it's kind of hard to put a cap on it, because you don't know who's going to go to the next conference the next year. Like, for instance, the Big Ten and the SEC, I think they both have 16 teams. So with them having 16 teams in the conference, it's hard to put like a definitive cap of eight teams on it, because we don't know how that might affect them.
No, I believe it. I mean, you kind of can look at the college football model too, where they got the at-large sort of the new expanded college football playoff, where it's like, look, two of these teams, they might get smoked, but they're going to get in there. And that still does apply, where if you win your conference tournament, you're going to make it out of those mid-major spots, but might need just like a few more, it seems like.
And to be honest with you, I think the realignment of the Pac-12, I think it will kind of restore that balance of
That's
power.
Needed. Yes, I agree with you. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Because it will be back next season, I believe.
Yes. The 2026 season, if that's the season you're talking about.
Yeah, hopefully that's 25-6, like, end of this year. But, right, I know it's going to be a different conference, where, like, Gonzaga's in there in the Pac-12. They'll have, I can't even tell you the rest. They're going off the top.
They're supposed to add Colorado State, Fresno State, Utah State, San Diego State, Gonzaga. And you already know they have Washington State and Oregon State that's already in the Pac-12. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Pac-10 or something right now. Or they had to hit the minimum of like 8 or 9 or 10 or something, but they might have it
exactly,
now.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And I've heard things like potentially UTSA going over there, which is the Road Runners. You got North Texas.
They might go to the Mountain West. And you're right, bro. You're right.
Yeah,
that's what was missing. Because so, for example, let's just say that happens this coming season for next year. The Pac-12 is now a conference. We now will have representatives out of there. We'll have teams that are playing just in there. We'll put some respect on those teams' names more than Gonzaga playing St. Mary's and Sacramento State and these teams. But along with that, you just named like four schools from the Mountain West that are ditching going to the Pac-12, right? Well, that kind of sucks. No, you know, rooting for the home team, for the Rebels. That also just cleared the lane for a team like us, a Reno, a Utah State, who's already been in the tournament a few years, a New Mexico, who was in the tournament this year. It kind of opens the floor for y'all to now breathe a little bit better. And one of y'all can make it up.
Championship to get an automatic bid. Exactly.
Yeah, it's more attainable.
Exactly, exactly. And I like it. Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, and I like it because it's like, UNLV, I feel like we both went there. We have all the makings to be a good basketball program. Like the Summer League is at our home arena.
Everybody we have is, the history. Man. Team USA, freaking.
Yeah, we have the history. What's keeping us from being at the top of the Mountain West? I don't know.
So, you know, we got the new coach now. We got a new coach. This boy,
what is his
Josh
name?
Josh Pastner. Okay. And his first impression was the right one. He sounded like he had it right. And when we were talking about players ditching in the portal, I was going to mention how it's a bummer that we lost DJ Thomas. Were you there? Yeah, we lost Deion Thomas, man. And that kind of, the part that doesn't sit with me is like, all right, we had you for 2 years, fresh out of high school. You was, you know, all freshman team your first year. Second year, I think he was like third team all Mountain West, but the team didn't really get better from his first to second year. So he had more responsibility, but he wasn't playing more effective with that because the team really didn't get better.
I will so like say now, he got hurt a little late in the season. So he missed a few pivotal games.
Didn't have him for the conference tourney whatsoever.
Yeah.
So with the part that doesn't sit with me is like, all right, man, you done took your licks over here. You done kind of got beat up. Now you got a feel for the game. Now you are ready to be an upperclassman, you're a veteran college player now, point guard. Now you're ready to really be a part of why a team is winning. And you gone.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get any return on investment from 2 years of backing you, supporting you. But by all means, I'm pro player at the same time. It's just the big picture element still. And he went to LSU, and LSU just brought in like 4 or 5, for, you know, big name, whatever you want to call it, portal people. His spot is not guaranteed over there. But it's a big opportunity, and that team can offer him a team like that with a budget like that.
Exactly.
Is more than the entire NIL fund right now in a Mountain Western Conference team. So it's just the playing fields aren't really even. Yet, and that is what it is. There'll always be haves and have-nots.
And it's crazy you bring up the fact that the playing field is not even because I think I was talking on the phone with one of my homies, and we was like, bro, the way this NIL money is kind of coming in, they might have to implement salary caps. They might have to implement, like, contracts where it's like, if you sign to this school, you got to be here for 2 years. You can't just up and leave because your stock high.
It's more is coming for sure because y'all want to be semi-professional. Well, we got to treat it semi-professional as well.
Exactly, bro. Like at this point in time with NIL money in, like in a situation, bro, these college cats, like What's the guy that got drafted by Portland that opted to go to the G League instead of college? It's like now that the NIL money is in play, it's kind of almost a no brainer that you go to college over the.
Oh, it is, bro. It is. That's why the G League Ignite team folded. Scoot Henderson.
Scoot Henderson.
G League Ignite folded A because they weren't developing A. It was a mess. It was a slight mess, but players still came out of it. Like Scoot's doing his thing. Matas Buzelis for the Bulls doing his thing right now.
Yeah.
Jalen Green was a G League Ignite product, I believe. As was there's another one that's like at the top of the Kuminga. As was Kuminga. So it did a thing. But right, all those people took the option that was going to pay them, but they probably all would instead take a season of college ball, getting probably the same amount of money with the college experience and March Madness. And
to be honest, them dudes would have got more money now with this NIL.
Oh, for sure, bro. Like, yeah.
You would have got that. Man, so many.
Man, endorsements. Flag, bro. And this can transition us into some Final Four predictions because it's a hot take. I just went big on Duke last episode. I love Maluwak. He is such a difference maker for that team. If there was one team built to give Duke a run for their money, it is this physical specimen of a team that Houston is, man. If they can ugly it up, get to the hole, maybe put Maluwak in foul trouble, flag in foul trouble, this ain't a runaway.
I agree with you, but one thing I will say, Duke is also a team that could kind of get ugly. They're also a very defensively sound team. They're a big team. And it's like, I like somebody in the front court from Houston like Juwan Roberts, but it's like, can he handle Cooper Flagg and the rest of that Duke front court? Also, it's like, I've watched Houston a lot this season. Some games, they are a little shaky on offense. You can't afford to be shaky on offense against Duke. Because Duke
can bring down
intensity
8-9
on the defensive end.
It's going to get slippery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, it got to come. Is Houston going to be able to score if it gets into that kind of matchup where we got to trade buckets in? As much as I like Houston, as much as I want to root for Houston, I really don't think they can kind of keep up with Duke if it's like a 5-minute stretch where the game kind of go to a we got to trade buckets. And that's kind of what concerns me. Like, you got Proctor, he's out of his mind from three.
Knipple.
Yeah. Like, man,
it's gonna be tough. You know, my betting mind is kind of like, hey man, don't run from Houston, bro. It's on tape. We've seen it all year. They're not getting ran on. And if one team was to challenge this, you know, talented young Duke squad, I feel like they could. But you saw that post talking about the whole team runs a sub 540 mile.
I did see that for Houston, right? Yeah, I saw that. I saw that this morning. That's crazy.
Yeah, nah, you got to respect that. What you think about, I thought that Auburn win was actually a little impressive. I didn't think they were going to make it out of the last round.
It was, you know me, I kind of root for Michigan. So it was definitely an impressive win for me because I was kind of expecting Golden Vladislav and Danny Wolf. I was just like, it's the front court. You got two big names from Michigan in the front court. You pretty much.
And they were ahead. So it was like just you know, just steer it home.
I thought Michigan would kind of take control of the game, but they didn't quite do that. You had John A. Broom step up. You had what's his name? Pettifor. He stepped up like. And Auburn was just too much. Bruce, amazing coach.
This is interesting too because these are conference, you know, conference foes, if you will. So there's some familiarity. There's a lot of commonalities on their schedule and who they faced and how they performed against so and so. And what was successful when this team did this. Well, if we did this to them, we got to do this to, you know, sort of geometry and preparing for this game. Opposed to this Duke Houston, where it's kind of like, yeah, y'all haven't had a taste, haven't seen each other yet. So this will be different, where the Auburn one will have some familiarity. Florida was my pick. I cap you not. Florida was my pick. I didn't make a bracket this year just because I wasn't really locked in the whole way, and I wasn't putting nothing on it. It was like, it's fine. I've kind of done it almost enough, like, to where I think I didn't last year maybe either, too, but I ended up watching way more of the tournament than I would have predicted. But I kid you not. Kid you not. You can ask my anchor, Brian Loftus. I went around the news. I was like, who you like? Like, I like Florida, bro. I like Florida. It's a team.
And I didn't even watch too much Florida basketball, but they did impress me in some of their tournament games. Like, if you ask me who was on my bracket, bro, I did two brackets. I had St. John. St. John lost early to Arkansas, and then on another bracket, I had Duke. So Duke kind of got my other bracket standing tall, but St. John really messed me up. I thought Rick Pitino was going to out-coach Calipari, and that's not what happened. It showed, like, Calipari showed that he was the better coach, and he showed that his team was the more athletic team. One of the reasons why I kind of thought St. John, not to get off topic from the Final Four, but just real quick,
we about to move on.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I thought kind of St. John was going to have a good run was because, obviously, Rick Pitino is a good coach. He got a lot of his wins and his championships kind of negated because of the little scandal that happened back when he was at Louisville. But, I mean, they had an athletic team. They had what's the guy that won Big East Player of the Year? RJ? Great player. They won a lot of ugly games. They won a lot of crunch time games. I thought
in the portal.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't blame him. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, why did he not? I don't know why he wasn't in the game.
Pitino benched him. I watched the game. Pitino benched him. He took a couple of crazy shots. He shot 3 for 17 that game against Arkansas. Yeah, he may have shot you out the game at points, but it's like, it's just star player. He won Biggest Player of the Year. You gotta let him go out on his shield. You get what I'm saying? Because you never want your star player to quit and turn into Ben Simmons. That's what you don't.
And that's why, bro. Yeah, that might have been the last time you saw Pitino was on the trip home.
Yeah.
Bro, listen, I ain't going to class tomorrow. I'm done. Take me out of here.
Do you really blame him? If you the star player and you kind of got this team or kind of was the leader to help bring this team to a place where they haven't been in a while. I honestly don't blame him.
I mean, if anything, salute. He kind of kept the professional on the bench. He wasn't.
Yeah, he could have walked to the locker room.
Yeah, he didn't start pouting. He didn't throw no tantrum.
Yeah. Also,
and then it's the coach's fault y'all lost, because you got to call a timeout right there.
You got to call some.
This ain't the pros. This ain't, I don't know. Like, soon as he started this herky jerky, oh, hell no. No, ref. And I watched it back. He was standing next to the ref.
Yeah. Rick Pitino made some mistakes. But I do want to ask you, did you hear about Merlin coach leaving and going to Villanova?
Did. And they were saying, they were dissing, there was some chatter about, what is this, like, Nova, this is beneath you, or, like, y'all are going backwards, or what's your thoughts?
To be honest, my thoughts was, like, realistically, I didn't understand the move, and like, until I did a little bit more research, and I kind of found out that Merlin is, like, a top four, top five school in the Big Ten, but in terms of NIL money, they were like one of the bottom three teams in NIL money in the Big Ten.
No, it makes sense.
And he was kind of frustrated, like, we're overperforming, but we're underperforming in terms of getting this money. So I need to leave and go somewhere where, go to a historic program where I can probably get that NIL money.
I need the resources, and I can make it happen.
Exactly. And another thing
Reese,
that was
you think
interesting
Reese is
was,
out of there? Out of
and,
there?
And correct.
You think Angel Reese brother?
Well,
out of, yeah.
I don't know if you talking about Julian Reese?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if Julian Reese is out of there, but I don't know if you saw this, but on SportsCenter maybe like a couple hours ago, Derrick Queen just announced that he was going to the draft.
And I think now with the process, you could yeah, a couple of names. Dylan Harper declared. Yeah.
So I think I definitely think Merlin they got to do some research, man. I did see that the coach from Texas A&M, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think they said he went to Merlin, which Texas A&M had a pretty good season. They made it to the tournament.
Yeah.
Do I think
with those
they
trash
was?
Jerseys.
I kind of think they was one of the teams. Yeah, I kind of think they was one of the bottom feeders in the SEC that really didn't deserve it. But they played tough in that loss to Michigan. So, I don't think him leaving was really a good idea. But I mean, he's going to Maryland. He might think it's a better situation for him. Leaving all that NIL money that's in the SEC is potentially not a good situation, but we'll see how it plans out. He might know something that we don't. So we kind of got to wait and see, let that play out. But it's a lot
of...
Buzz Williams. It's a lot of interesting things going on with the University of Maryland. So we're going to see how all of these transitions kind of affect them. And we'll see, just like you were kind of alluded to, we'll see what Julian Reese do if he decides to stay, go, or even go to the draft, because I think he had a pretty...
He low-key could, man, especially as a big with a fundamental foundation. That gets the job done, man. Like, people overthink some of these things, man. And, of course, it helps that he's got some name value. He's got some name value, so people are going to pay attention to sister doing her thing. So, you look at, like, a Jared McCain. Some of these folks, you know, Jared McCain didn't really get evaluated like the player he really was because his profile was more popular than whatever people really were studying his game off of. And then he goes, doesn't get picked in the lottery. And first month of the season, he was easily the rookie of the year, you know, on pace to become rookie of the year. So it's kind of like, don't overthink some of these things. If you see a player that's demonstrating a translatable skill.
I'm going to be honest, bro. I like Jared McCain's game. I went to, I've been to a couple 76ers game. One game in particular, I went to the Sixers Clippers game. Man, Jared McCain looked good. He definitely impressed me. He made me, like, you know me, like.
Nah, I scooped him up in fantasy. I was a little hurt when he got injured, man.
he played nice up until that. What was it, an ACL injury he had? Yeah, like he was definitely playing nice. Like, rookie of the year, he still might win it. Did he get past that minimum game threshold?
Not at all. Okay, bro, played six weeks. Yeah, he got hurt in like November.
So yeah, I don't even know who's up for the rookie of the year candidate at this point.
It's gonna be Stephon Castle.
I said it
in December. It's Castle, but this rookie class is actually slightly deep. We're not gonna stay there, but like I said, Buzelis can hoop. The Wizards got three rookies that can hoop. Keyshawn George. You know, I know you tune into the Wizards, man. Them boys kind of get into it.
Bro.
I wrote about them on NBA.com. They got some pieces. Hey, Sar is a... You can exhale because bro is legit. Not that he's going to be the best player on a championship team, but you have a center that can stretch the floor and play this modern era. That is one of the toughest spots to fill.
Yeah. Nah, definitely. I like what the Wizards is doing, but we way too young. And you want to know what I'm more excited about with the Wizards, bro? And it's kind of hurt me a little bit that they start trying to win as of lately. Like, they still been losing, but they've been winning a little more than I've liked. But it's like, bro, I really want us to get that number one seed, and just so we can have that highest odds on the lottery. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So, well, I'm really hoping.
No, I just had to plug in the charger. I think that the way the odds work now, the bottom four teams all have equal odds. So I get what you're saying about wanting just to get them as many ping pong balls as you can. But I think the bottom four teams all get that equal percentage of.
You think all bottom four get that 14%?
Yeah. It's changed up to where, just to make it a little more unpredictable, even though that Wembanyama one was 100% predictable. But it changed a little bit to where the bottom four, it's not reverse to where the one has the most. They grouped it like that a little bit for some, you know. So, yeah, it'll be them, Charlotte, who else down there kind of kicking. But
you got the Utah Jazz.
Yeah. No, Flag's coming out too, man. I kind of want to wait to see, but he's just not going to make that announcement while the tourney's still going. He's trying to get to it. But
Yeah. He definitely got to wait till it's done.
Bro, let's go ahead and get into this. Who's hooping, man? Who's hooping? And I got one for you. And this one might hurt. Denny Avdija. This brother is losing his mind right now.
He just had a triple-double. Like, what was it, 2 games ago? I was looking at the stat sheet like, yo, Denny Avdija did that?
No, man. Hold on 1 second. Let me get this handy for you because his numbers over the past month, I'm also playing him right now in the fantasy championship, and he might single-handedly be the reason why I lose. I kid you not. This boy's losing it right now in Portland. And it's sort of an opportunity. For one, Chauncey Billups been kind of doing this thing over there. But it's stepped out. He's just seizing the moment, seizing the opportunity. Aiden was on funny games this entire season. Scoot had a better year than his rookie year, much better, but not ready to hand over the keys. Anthony Simons is kind of going, he's kind of plateaued already, where we know you can hoop, but what's the ceiling? And what's the ceiling with you being our elite? Like, you know, that's not where you're not taking us deep into the playoffs. And Shaedon Sharpe has kind of fit next to Denny in a way that is really potent, bro. Denny, over the last month, 25-10 are his averages. 25-10 with 5 assists, and he's got a couple triple-doubles in that stretch as well.
I know. He just had a triple-double maybe like 2 games ago.
Yeah, on the first.
I don't think it was the last night's Atlanta game.
No, it was on Monday. It was against Atlanta, 32-15-10. And that was in a win.
That boy hooping.
I'm saying, man, that is literally the definition of this. And I like this segment because, hey, especially when you got a little something on the game, you're really tuning in. And, A, there's not enough platforms that do just talk basketball that, you know, or whatever sport that gets a lot of attention. So with Who's Hooping, that's kind of like, hey, look, I saw this and it stood out. And Denny, man, Washington had him for the last. So that's why I wanted to highlight that SAR pick is finally a sigh of relief, because you still got ways to climb out of there. But let Detroit be exhibit A. If you get one piece right, in an impactful piece at that, like they have with Cade and like Alex SAR can turn into. Now it's just about getting the side dishes. It's like, all right, we already know who's making the turkey. Now we just need, you know, who's going to bring, you know, let's go get some mac. We can jimmy up the rest of Thanksgiving dinner. But we got the turkey, we got the ham, whatever that might be. But prior to that, I think that just the culture in Washington, the Bradley Beal era, if you will, it just wasn't serious. So how can a guy like Denny, who's got the potential, came in with a lot of, you know, hype, because I want to say he's from Israel, and you know, it's one of the few players to make it to the NBA where he's from, and you saw this what he potentially brought to the table, but the team just wasn't serious, and you kind of. But at the same time, you know, you're 3, 4, 5 years in now, so you know what to expect, you know what it feel like, you come into your own, you've gotten better, but that is lined up with a more competitive conference, you know, a coach that maybe is just connecting with you a little bit better or just letting you do what you can do versus you trying to listen to young guys and vets that haven't necessarily achieved anything and you don't know where you fall in line. And you just got to play finally. Same with Josh Giddey. You just got to play finally. And with some of that relief, and it's like, oh, hold on, we got something.
With the Wizards, I'll be honest. It's like, I like some of the moves they made. Like, I really like the move of bringing Marcus Smart in because he's one of those, like, energizer bunnies. He's sort of like that enforcer. He can play that role.
And it's just him and Middleton, because that was the article. It was like, hey, yeah, they've got these young guys, and now they've actually added some
veteran
that can really positively just shape these dudes.
They got two championship vets, one in Chris Middleton and one in Jordan Poole. Like, we got to remember that Jordan Poole
right,
played a pivotal role in the Warriors championship run over the Celtics.
He sure did. And I was about to correct you and say that Marcus Smart didn't win one with Boston, but I slept on Poole. No, I can't do that.
Yeah. But even then, Marcus Smart went to the conference championship a couple times. Like,
man, he got more playoff games than that entire roster.
Exactly. Like, he might didn't win one, but he's been 3/4 of the way.
And tell you a whole lot. Same. And I was kind of I did a story about Detroit earlier in the season too, where I was like, hey, they got these young guys. Yes. But we can't underestimate the residual pieces. Tim Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley, Tobias Harris. You got some adults in the room now.
Yeah. And then they got that enforcer and Isaiah Stewart.
Man, they got it. And Ron Holland. And
they're going to do the
dirty
work.
Durin, bro. Durin, I came on here last year and said that, look, man, let me give Jalen Durin his shout out. Jalen Durin is hooping. I didn't have him down here, but he's hooping. And I say that because tonight he had a crazy stat line tonight. Let me pull that back up. I drafted him in fantasy and let him go early in the season. Jalen Durin tonight, 21-18-6. No Cade. They got the win. And Detroit clinched the top 6 seed in the playoffs. They will not be in the playoffs. They will not be in the play-in tournament.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
I said, hey, look, last year, I said, Jalen Durin has the makings of a modern Dwight Howard. I get it. It's going to sound crazy. You know what I mean? But he has the frame and just a similar skill set that a young Dwight had. I'm not saying this man's about to be a 3-4-5-time defensive player of the year or first ballot Hall of Famer. Shout out to Dwight that just came through.
Also salute. Mello.
Dwight and Mello going into the Hall of Fame is crazy, bro. Like, did Wade go in last year?
I'm not sure.
I think he might have. I know he got the statue down there and stuff, but it's wild to be to have seen these fools' whole careers. And now they're going into the Hall of Fame.
Now they're going into the Naismith.
They try to comfort Dwight, man. So I feel like that definitely made him feel a little vindicated in the all-time debate. Like, yeah, Shaq, get off me. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm first ballot too, even though you ain't got the rings to show.
Nowadays, people is quick to forget. And just like when you talk about the ring, people quick to forget that Dwight Howard do got one. He got one with the Lakers, and he played a big role. So
come on now, we definitely gotta
give Dwight his flowers. Like, what he did in Orlando was absolutely crazy. Like, he was in Orlando acting different, man. Like,
I kid you not, I thought we could have got Dwight last season and this season still. I thought we still could have scooped him for some impactful minutes. And we might regret it, because that's the one thing that's maybe holding the Lakers back.
Once they got rid of AD, they really don't have a big man. I mean, I guess the Lakers could kind of rely on Hayes, but not really.
I mean, I'll give a shout out to those boys too, because the big three, AR, Luka, and LeBron, they combined for 92 tonight. They put up 92 together. Bron was the only one that didn't get 30. He had 27. And that's the template. I think that this team, we'll talk a little more playoffs and All-NBA on the pod next week. because the seeding implications are all over the place right now. So it's really going to be a last second kind of photo finish on who gets what spot and how the matchups are determined. So I don't want to even talk about it too much yet. But you look at a Golden State who's gaining confidence. They got their first win over Denver in 2 years tonight. They don't play a traditional center. Oklahoma City got past half the year without playing a traditional center, even though they now have a healthy front court. Except that didn't get the job done tonight against Houston. Houston got a statement victory over them that we'll talk a little bit more about. That's what I want to kind of highlight before we get out of here. And their styles, and we saw the Lakers, I think the Lakers exposed the Nuggets about a month ago when they played. You probably saw some of it, but they forced Jokic into like 6-7 turnovers. They helped heavily off of everybody. They said, other players will beat us, but we can't let Jokic get the easy ones, and we can't let him get comfortable. We got to just hit him all game. Golden State did that tonight. Well, teams have beat Denver using sort of the same mold. And basically, getting back to the, you know, us not having a center element, we shall see. And it needs to happen. But I think that when the postseason does come and it's time to go mismatch hunting and it's time to sag off of who we don't consider a threat, that's when players like Chet become really valuable because you can't stretch the floor still. But teams might have to go small to match the lineup. If the Lakers are going to go, if they're just going to say, look, man, we're going to roll with Rui, Bron, Finney Smith, Luka, and AR, that means we got four bodies at 6'8", 6'9". Everybody can switch. And then, you know, AR, that's just going to stick on the guard. But offensively, it's dang near five out. Who are you helping off of? And if y'all got a big out there, trust and believe, we're going to drag him out to this pick and roll, and we're going to attack the mismatch. We're going to find a way to get past. We're going to find a way to use that. So we're going to see some teams have to play chess and be like, dang, we actually can't take advantage of the lack of a center. So we'll see. Draymond is about to maybe win Defensive Player of the Year. And
it's funny you bring up Draymond, because I was going to say another small ball team lineup is the Warriors. Like, the Warriors look amazing with Steph, Jimmy Butler, Dre. They look amazing.
That was an episode a couple back. I said it was called The Ghost of Golden State because, bro, I love this, bro. Talking NBA, but I'm like, yo, Houston's, Memphis's, even OKC, y'all ain't ready for when Steph goes into that mode in the postseason.
Not even just Steph. We got to remember, Jimmy Butler overachieved and forced his way to the finals twice.
Oh, man. And we got to start talking like this because it's legitimately scary. They might have messed around and put back together. And what's crazy, you know, the team that's going to get it done. I watched. Did you catch the Court of Gold documentary on Netflix?
No, I didn't. What is it about?
It follows, like, you know, Canada, Serbia, France, Australia, Team USA. Maybe one more or so through the Olympics, and culminates, you know, in the bronze and in semifinal games, and it's about six episodes. I watched it all, and I've watched a couple episodes twice now because, bro, the last two episodes where they're just slow balling, having the interviews where the players are talking about what's going on in that game against Serbia, where they had to come back from double digits in the fourth. And the gold medal game against Wemby in France, where they were trying to go up. Hearing everybody narrate what happens, and it's really the Steph Curry and KD documentary. LeBron didn't do interviews, Tatum didn't do interviews, things like that. It's really about them. But, bro, you will, after watching that doc, you just have to put Stephen Curry in a different category. It's like that was a snapshot. A, it showed that it's 100% still there. He hasn't lost a bit. He hasn't lost one bit of what peak Steph could provide when push comes to shove.
I remember watching those last games. Like he definitely put the team on his back in a major way.
He lost his mind, bro. And it's like definitely he hit 7 or 8 threes in the gold medal game. But like, you know, those 4 straight or 5 straight he hit in the fourth quarter. And
insane.
He did it tonight. I watched it. 36 tonight against the Nuggets. 7 for 15 from 3. Bro.
Bro, we didn't even bring up, what is it, the 52 he dropped against the Grizzlies?
Yeah, 51 or 52 the other night. Dude, I'm saying, man, it's – and this team now – so, you know, you look at their 2022 championship team, or 2021, which – 2022, I believe. You still had Klay. Klay wasn't Klay, but you still had Klay. You had Dre. You had Poole. You had Wiggins. And Looney, you know what I mean? Basically, that was the squad that ran the table.
Yeah.
This year, you still got Steve Kerr on the sideline, first of all. And Kerr's in the documentary, and you get to just see the understanding that he has of Steph. It's so crazy, bro. But you still got Kerr, still got Dre, still got Steph. Now you got Jimmy Butler. Now you got Kuminga. Now you got Pajimski. Now you got Moses Moody.
Exactly.
You could tell he was getting frustrated because he's like, y'all, I just need a little bit more. And we can make some shake. And it's like you could see the spark again because he's like, oh, we got it. So I think as Lakers Warriors in the conference finals, of course, the seeding may prevent that from being a reality. But I think that it's one of those two coming out of the West because those veteran teams, they understand LeBron knows what it takes to get past Steph. Steph knows what it takes to get past LeBron. Jokic knows what it takes to get past anybody. That's it. The rest of these teams don't know what it actually takes
to
get 4 rounds into the playoffs. And Luka now also has a feel because he led Dallas to the finals. But it's just like, I don't think that without proving you have done it and can do it, that it's going to happen until I see it. OKC, I think one more year away. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, piggybacking off what you said, I agree with what you were saying. I don't think it's OKC year. Don't think it's the Rockets year. The Grizzlies, they just got rid of their head coach. I don't think it's their year. I mean.
No, they punted. They just punted on the season. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what that was. Obviously, it's
just. At the same time, they're going to be low-key dangerous. Who knows? But yeah.
Looking at it from the outside in. It looked like it's some internal problems. We'll figure that out maybe during the off season next year, whatever. But whatever happened, I don't think they was going to win out anyway. I think it's down to the three teams that you just named. It's going to be down to the teams that already have that championship pedigree. Jokic, Steph and the Warriors, Ron, Luka, AR and the Lakers.
Yeah, JJ.
Yeah. We just gotta hope, man. As a Westbrook fan, I would really love to see the Nuggets go on a big run. But as we saw the other night, man, your boy Jokic had a 60-point triple dub, and Westbrook kind of made two boneheaded late game mistakes. And I don't even want to slander Westbrook, but at that,
nah, bro, I got on here and talked about that whole game for 30 minutes because.
That was kind of crazy.
You can't forget,
bro.
Oak Dog smoked the bunny with about 30 seconds left. That also kind of would have been the finishing touch.
Yeah.
It was like that. Remember Tim Duncan missed that gimme against the Heat in like 2012 or 2013 or 14? And it was one of those where it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I missed this one. And that's the one that mattered. But
my biggest thing about Westbrook smoking that layup is like, you really didn't have to take it. You could have dribbled it out and took the foul.
Whatsoever, bro. That's what I talked about on here by myself. I was like, they get the turnover. I criticized Ant for not being aggressive enough to that double team. If you watch that Netflix documentary, Steph Curry could give a damn about the double. Like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. But also his teammates, like literally the shot where he hits the heave over Batum and somebody else that basically was a dagger before he went night-night. compare those two, and I know this is like a tangent, that play in comparison to multiple instances in the end of regulation and overtime for the Timberwolves, Ant passed out of the double team every single time from the end of regulation to the second overtime, and it wasn't until the second overtime with a minute left that he finally passed out of the double and did some action, cut, got it back, and scored. Your teammates also have to know that, look, I get they're doubling you. We still got to find you, though. So Steph gets doubled, crossing half court, 30 seconds left, 40 seconds or so, six-point game. They send the double. He passes it to KD. Bron is naked with the one more pass to just, he's open, let me just move the ball. Kevin Durant doesn't even acknowledge LeBron. Throws it right back to Steph because he understands that, look, this is what we need to do right now. You need the ball. You need to be taking the shot. I trust you to do this. So I get it, but I'm going to get it back to you. Good stuff, but I'm going to find you. And Steph, you know, he's in the interview, he's like, when he gave it back to me, he was like, it was too late. I was already into the little boo-bop. And that's just, that's how I do. I said, if this ain't getting blocked, it's going in. So 100%, bro. Ant gave it away. I said, Westbrook started coming down the lane like he wanted you to throw him the alley-oop. I'm like, bro, what are y'all doing? Y'all don't.
It was crazy. It was a bad sequence, a bad couple sequence.
Yeah. So I do want to talk about Houston, and it's going to be the last thing. Because that was a statement victory tonight. The Thunder had 11 wins in a row, and beyond just that 11-game winning streak, they had won 10 road games in a row, which is very impressive. Houston handled those boys tonight. A healthy Oklahoma City. They handled them for real. Up by double digits almost the entire game. OKC cut it to 9 in the fourth quarter. It didn't get any closer than that, and they still lost by 15 or 16, final score. Jalen Green and Şengün combined for 65. Amen Thompson kept doing his thing. He had a couple really, really, really nice possessions on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and he might be the Shai stopper. To bring this back to Westbrook, the analogy I've made for Amen Thompson is imagine if Westbrook was 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah. Man, I really like the Rockets, bro. I like Amon Thompson. I like what Jalen Green is. I like what everybody over there is doing. I like the fact that Ime Udoka, when he got fired, when he got let go from the Celtics, I like the fact that he went to a situation and he's thriving in that situation, bro. I really think, like, the Rockets, they not ready to take that next step, but I do think they, whatever, however many series.
This was a huge step forward this season.
However many series they play in this postseason, I think it's going to be a competitive series, man. Like even when you look at what's the guy name that came from the Grizzlies? I'm having a brain freeze right now.
Dylan Brooks.
Like, even when you look at him, like he's kind of thriving in this system. Fred VanVleet came over from the Raptors with that championship DNA, kind of being that veteran voice. Like, last year he was
Stephen Adams.
Yeah. Performing well. Fred VanVleet's not performing that well, even like Stephen Adams doing what they're supposed to do as veterans.
Yeah, and it's a testament to a little bit of loyalty, because Şengün and Jalen Green were in the same draft, and a lot of times, you know, players, teams, organizations will move a young prospect, trying to sort of overthink what's going on when it's like, look, man, let your guys play together. Look at OKC.
Look at the Celtics. The Celtics were together for a while. Failed a bunch of times in the conference finals.
That was another analogy I made on here two episodes ago. I said, look, man, OKC, I get it. Y'all great right now. It took Brown and Tatum seven, eight years to finally figure it out.
Yeah.
And You got to get your bumps. You got to get your bruises, your battle scars to make you want it that much more. And then it really happens.
Exactly.
But this will be fun to see. Shingun's got the right mentality since his summer league. I was a Shingun fan. I watched him in summer league. And again, same page with you where we don't think this is the title window. But for that team to be second in the Western Conference a year after not being in the playoffs,
it means something.
You got to tip your hat and you got to be on the lookout of like, okay, hold on. They really not effing around. But that's that in a nutshell. Jabari Smith had a great game too. And they got a lot of pieces. The summer will be interesting to see if they will stick with all of them because there's a lot of rumors. There's Devin Booker's and Kevin Durant's and names that people are tossing out. But, you know,
I don't even want to get to
Thompson, Jabari, Jalen, Whitmore, Shingun is like, bro, they have a lot of young bodies and it would be interesting to see if they could demonstrate just, look, we're going to rock. We're going to keep bringing in the vets that want to sign and play ball with the money we got to offer. But that's nasty.
And I do think Ime Udoka is going to keep it together. I think he's going to do his best to try to keep that team intact and try to, you know, make whatever additions he make without doing too much subtraction. I definitely got a lot of confidence and a lot of faith that Ime Udoka is going to try to do that. And I know you want to wrap it up. I know we kind of getting to the closing, so I do kind of want to give a couple off-topic shout-outs because we didn't talk about it much.
Let's do it.
We talked about the men's tournament a lot. We got to give some credit to the women's tournament. Like, this tournament, to me, I feel like they continue to further and increase, like, that good spirit, that good energy, and continue to improve that electrifying atmosphere that Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark brought the last 2 years. Like, when you look at what's been going on, sadly, Juju tore ACL, but it's like Paige Beckers, AZ Fudd, Sarah Strong, they did their thing. When you look at Dawn Staley, won the championship, she kind of trying to become the men's UConn team. She got Chloe Kitts. She got Raven Johnson. Yeah. What's the girl that was hitting the threes today? Tahina Pow Pow. She got some dogs over there. She coaching her ass off, man. Even UCLA, Lauren Betts played a good game. They got smoked by UConn tonight, but she's been nothing less than spectacular for UCLA.
It sure did.
When we look at earlier in the tournament, like, it's been some stories in the women's tournament. We didn't kind of put that light on them, so I want to put that light on them right now. Haley Van Lift started her career in Louisville.
Yeah.
Louisville to go to LSU. Things didn't work out. She hopped in the transfer portal, go to TCU, put TCU on a great little run.
Map.
TCU end up having to play the
Lead
team.
Eight.
Not even that. They ended up having to play Louisville where it all started at for Haley Van Lith. She had a good game against Louisville in the women's tournament, beat them, beat Notre Dame. Also, Notre Dame, they got, what's the girl name? Hidalgo.
Yeah.
They got Olivia.
Yeah, Hidalgo, Olivia.
Olivia.
And she's staying.
And she's staying.
That's good. That's been good for their game as well. Bro,
exactly.
You smoking stuff right now because that was
The women's
this
tournament.
This is real spill. This is legit.
The women's tournament was great this year, so I definitely want to put the highlight on them. I wish we could have spoke about them a little bit more because I honestly, this year I've watched women's college basketball more than I did the men's. Like I was talking about earlier. Like the SEC putting 14 teams in there kind of took some of the steam away from the men's tournament.
Yeah,
but
it
the
just kind of wasn't fun, right?
Yeah, it was very predictable. But the women's tournament, they definitely kept it electrifying for college basketball. Like, I'm enjoyed and I'm satisfied that I was able to catch this many women's game, and I'm definitely excited and anxious to see what the championship game versus UConn and South Carolina holds. Like, it's coming up soon, so and I'm excited to see. Hopefully, Juju come back better and better than ever. I'm excited to see what she do for next year. And I know we got to wrap it up, so I don't want to give too much many shout outs.
No, before you do the next one, bro, that was that's the real deal, man, because same. Last season sucked me in, and I definitely watched more of the women's tournament last year than the men's tournament, hands down. That, for me, translated right into following the WNBA like I never did before. I played fantasy WNBA. I'm all the way locked in, literally now. I'm playing with them on 2K. Like, so I wish I did catch a little more. The men's team did suck me in. There were some stories to follow with the whole Duke and whatever. But
yeah,
I'm going to get familiar with these girls. And what's crazy to me about the women's tournament in the WNBA is that Paige is going to be in the WNBA in next month.
Man. And she's
going to... That was an insane turnaround. Like last year when they were putting all this on Caitlin when she kind of started a little stall, I'm like, well, y'all realize she just played a full college season.
Yeah. And only had like a month two off before she had to jump right back into the WNBA. Her and Angel Reese had great long seasons, great long careers.
Right.
So,
went from November, October, which is really the beginning of the academic year. You getting ready, cleared through. Now I'm a professional by the time I would be like ending the school year. It's crazy.
Exactly.
But go ahead. That was clutch, bro. Good shout out.
Nah. And I definitely, I got to give a shout out to the hometown, man. Hockey. Ovechkin.
Ovi.
Tonight, he just tied Wayne Gretzky for the most goal scores all time.
Wasn't it a winner? Wasn't it a game winner, too?
No, it wasn't a game winner. They won 5-3, but he definitely scored. Like, coming into that game tonight, he was three goals away. He scored two goals to tie it up.
And then
next game, he could break that record. So I would definitely want to give a shout out to Alex Ovechkin, one of the greatest goal scorers, the great eight for DC. Shout out to the Washington Capitals, man. I remember my first year in Vegas was the Golden Knights inaugural year, their first year in the NHL, and it just so happened to be they played a hometown team in the Stanley Cup, Vegas versus the Washington Capitals. The Capitals got the best of them, so I definitely want to kind of give a shout out on that front to the hometown team.
No, I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'm a super duper casual. And I actually enjoy getting to, like, not know for real what's happening, but just have a team that I want to, like, be biased towards now with the Knights. But my boy Sasowski, I might have saw the push alert from ESPN or something on social media, but my boy Sasowski at the desk was like, bro, Ovechkin, he's two away from Gretzky. I said, I said, damn, Ovechkin's still out there. That brother getting to it. Like, salute. Bro. I ain't even know. I ain't even peep.
You want
to
know what makes it even crazier? Early in the season, Ovechkin broke his leg. Mid-season came back, and he's still on track to break the all-time goal-scoring record this year. And the man, what is it?
When he got hurt, were they acting like that might have been the end of his career type?
Not necessarily, but it's just like, you got to think, he's 39, 40 years old. He kind of up there in age, so to break your leg at this point is like, you don't know how he's going to come back. It's kind of almost like whenever
that was a Kobe.
LeBron had his little injuries, it's like a scare, like, oh, is this father time knocking on the door? Like LeBron and like Ovechkin is showing us, nah, not yet. We could kind of push that father time stuff to the curve. We still got a lot more planned.
Yeah, we got that Brady, the Brady syndrome. Exactly. Look, I'll let y'all know when I'm back.
So these boys is balling. So I definitely just kind of at the end of the episode wanted to make sure I gave a shout out to Ovechkin and women's college basketball. We definitely got to shine some light on those sports. Those is sports that kind of is a little underrated nowadays. But we got to make sure we do our best to keep the light on them.
This boy CeeLo came through the pod.
Yeah.
First appearance in the classroom, said, look, I got notes. I'll come in front of the class. I'll say what I gotta say. You know, y'all got questions. You feel me? I got answers.
Brother, talk to me.
Nah, we gonna definitely connect on here more frequently now, because
yes, sir.
This was money. I told you, let's try and do like 30, 40 minutes. So I already knew, man, because this is overdue to just chop it up anyway.
Definitely overdue. I appreciate you for definitely having me on here, man. This is long, long overdue. I'm glad we got a chance to connect, especially with me being way over here on the East Coast. I'm definitely more than excited. Hopefully, I could bring my East Coast audience to add to it. So
I'm saying, bro, gotta make it bigger and better. Nah, bro, and that's literally the beauty of this thing too, bro. It's like we ain't nothing but a screen away from me from whoever it needs to be.
That's a fact.
And we gotta keep that network going. So y'all do y'all homework, which is to like, follow, interact, leave the show a rating, do something. We don't ask nothing else for y'all. It's pass or fail. Do your homework. Tap in with the gang on socials. And I look, man, like my granny say, I can show you better than I could tell you. It's two live streams in a week. We coming. It's that time of year where we got to talk about these games in a real way. So hop aboard, or are you missing? You missing out?
And I'll be more. I'll be back more with baseball, soccer. You know I like the saga, so we're going to have to kind of get into that a little bit, too.
My brother, man.
Hey. We got a lot in store, brother.
Let me hit this button so we can chop it up still. You feel me?
For sure, for sure.
With all that said, till next time.